All right, so.
Hey, babe. I have Bodie.
Okay.
Okay.
9:08. 9:09. So, see you in the morning, Jan.
Go ahead, babe.
All right, so. I'm just going to put this right here.
Yeah, is this and recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all good. Cool. So, why don't you, you know, introduce yourself, like, you know, name and, you know.
Do you guys tell jokes while you're
yeah,
doing this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will try to enunciate well because I'll tell you why later. But my name's Buzz, and I grew up in the Marin County area, specifically Mill Valley, Sausalito, around there. Had a lot of good friends. I grew up in the 60s. I graduated in 1969 from Marin Catholic High School. So I was, it might have been a little unusual in where I hung out because I'm going to this college preparatory Catholic high school, but I'm hanging out at Seas Drive-In in Mill Valley. And hey, if you guys ever remember American Graffiti in a movie, one of the first scenes is in 4th Street in San Rafael. That's where I used to run my 62 and 64 Super Sports. But the first car you will see coming down 4th Street in that movie is a light blue 52 Ford, and that was my brother-in-law's. And they'd come around and ask for people to cruise the street making the movie for that purpose. So that was Henry's.
Unreal.
That was Henry's 52, I think, Ford. Anyway, where was I? We're going to do this a lot. I'm going to say where was I a lot. And always going to help me. So there was to be this big concert at Sears Point Raceway, which was a new area, new raceway for Sonoma County. And the concert, was to take place here, but at the last minute they canceled. And by the last minute, I think it was like 2 days before, maybe three. And so a fella out in Altamont who had a big ranch with buku acres, rolling hills, and you know, fencing and barbed wire and what have you, and a racetrack in the middle. And my buddy Bob was a circle track, dirt track racer guy, and I pitted for him, so that's how we were kind of familiar with it. And so this concert's going to now take place, you know, 2 days' notice out in like Antioch near Pittsburgh in the East Bay. And so we showed up real early the morning of the concert, and we got a couple buddies to drive us there.
So wait, back up.
I went with my buddy Bob.
So this is, yeah. You just graduated from high school.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, 1969.
So you're a high school senior.
Yeah.
And you just graduate, and was this concert late in the summer, or was this summer... Or, sorry, was this concert, do you recall, had you already graduated from high school?
Oh, I had graduated.
Yeah.
And,
like, what'd you hear about with this concert? Was there a big buzz? Like, was everyone in your town talking about it?
No, I don't recall a big buzz, and it was kind of a low-key.
Okay.
From what I heard.
Cool.
I don't think we knew what to expect, really.
Yeah.
Because after Woodstock, you know, when we arrived, we had to park like a couple miles from the concert because the whole highway was a parking lot.
Wow.
And people would pull up, whether you're in the right lane or the left lane, and it was stop, and you'd roll up your windows, turn it off, take a key, and off you go.
Wow.
We got there early in the morning of the concert, but what happened the evening before, people showed up and they were camping. And so the only firewood they had to keep warm in camp was this poor guy's fence post. So they started... So they were burning all the rancher's fence posts to keep warm. And there was one idiot who figured that he was going to drive his hot rod across the rolling hills, and he ended up going to the camping area and ran through camp.
Oh, man.
And it killed a person. Well, that was the first death that I'm aware of the concert. So anyway, that was too bad. But then people were arriving the day before, and there was very little, let me put it this way, I think 300,000 people came, or 200,000, whatever it was, but there were like 12 sand cans, so do the math.
Wow.
It was totally unprepared. There were no concessions. There's no place to buy a bottle of water. There's no place to really go. Mostly people were peeing in the line waiting for a sand can. And it was just not really, they never believed that many people would show up. So here they all are down this grass, kind of a valley in front of the stage. And let me say where I was. Bob, my buddy, okay, I'm with Bob, and we lost our other two guys who drove us there, a nice 57 Chevy, four-wheel carburetor, you know. They parked their car, grabbed their keys, and we left them. So we get to the stage early in the morning, and it starts getting really crowded. We're right in front. Shoulder to shoulder, and the crowd's kind of like now, kind of, it's tight. So we're looking to the left, going, there's this hillside. It's about a 45-degree angle, and if you want to sit on it, you got to dig a hole. Put your butt in. So we went up, halfway up the hillside, and we put our butt in the hole. We dug holes, and so did everybody else, and we sat up there. So here we are, 20 feet or so above the stage, right on the left-hand side.
Wow.
The Hells Angels come in and determine that, well, okay, from that vantage point, looking to my right, all I can see is people, shoulder to shoulder. It was very, very compact.
Yeah.
In the middle, I think, was a big box that probably held, like, some of the irrigation system for the acreage. But there was a guy up there, naked as a jaybird, might have pushed 400 pounds.
Wow.
And he's dancing his...
Yeah.
Overworking the heart out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there are so many people. And looking still to the right, there were these two steel towers that were originally intended for probably audio equipment,
mm-hmm.
but there wasn't really, well, there were some up there, but look back further to the right, and granted, at this point, all of the music equipment isn't on the stage yet, so they had to get it in, and all these people had showed up early, and so here comes this, like, you know, today U-Haul, but whatever it was, a rental truck. And all the guy could do was put it in compound low, let the clutch out, roll up the windows, lock the doors, and go through the crowd.
Huh.
Well, it looked like an old cartoon where the mole's going to the ground, the dirt's going over the mole. People would climb up the front bumper, cross the hood, cross the cab, across... the back of the truck and fall off the back.
It's completely normal.
You almost couldn't see the truck, but they were bringing equipment in still. Now, there were these two steel erector sets out there, like I said, that looked like kind of like the Eiffel Tower kind of thing. and people started climbing up them.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, you couldn't see the steel because there's so many people on it. It looked like an anthill or something. You just, and then the towers started swinging. And their legs would swing out one way, and then they'd go back the other way, and their legs would swing out the end. Shit, they'd fall off, and it was just fucking nuts. So
yeah.
There were, I'm getting ahead of myself, 4 people died at that concert, and 4 babies were born in the audience. You know, okay, back to. So before the concert started, the people are so thick in front of the stage and so far back that a fight might break out and all of a sudden the whole crowd would lean one way or the other. Well, the Hells Angels decided that it was their duty to go up in front of the stage and make a line and protect the stage. So they started punching people back, and people fought back, and some guy pulled out a knife, and then somebody pulled out a gun, and the guy was shot and killed there. Well, right on the left side of the stage were the ambulances and the EMT guys, and so they went in and, you know, did their thing.
Yeah.
And I'm on the hillside, my butt in the hole I dug, and so's Bob next to me, and we're shoulder to shoulder, and I'm looking at this place going, it would take me 15 minutes to a half hour to bump my way through this crowd to be on the outside. And I'm getting really claustrophobic. So I told Bob. Meanwhile, wait a minute, back up. A guy below us 10 feet on the hill had a hookah that was 3 feet tall and had about 6 hoses out of it that were about 10 foot long each. So if you know your math, everybody within a 20 foot radius was ripped. And everybody that walked by threw something in this 3-inch wide bowl.
Yeah.
Who knows? And then a guy went by with a shoebox full of sunshine acid. And they looked like lighter flints out of the Bic lighters that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
No, not Bic. I'm sorry. What are they? The old...
Like the little Zippos?
Zippo.
Yeah.
Zippo lighter flints. And he'd throw them in the air, and I didn't, but people would jump up with their hands up in the air and...
Yeah.
Grab them and eat them and whatever. So I needed to get the hell out of Dodge. I was a little bit uncomfortable. And the music had started, but they were asking the crowd to settle down. And there was a couple of fights breaking out and all that.
Yeah.
It was not peaceful that moment. So I told my buddy Bob, who I pit for, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
And you go, okay. So we get up and we head back behind the stage. You go, where are you gonna go? I go, well, I don't know, that way.
Yeah.
There's no people there. So we walk over this hilltop behind the 12 sand cans with all the quarter mile line in front of them, the people wanting to pee, who are mostly going in line. And we get down to the racetrack. And it's a big old circle track, and it's really cool. And we're down rolling around the middle of it. And we're stoned. We got, we're doing. And here comes this frickin' helicopter. Actually, I should say now that back a little ways before, I had never tried mescaline, but I took a quarter tab. And so did Bob.
Instead of Bob.
Okay. So we're down walking on a racetrack, and in comes this helicopter. I'm going, Bob, what the fuck? He goes, yeah, what the fuck? So we walk out to the middle of the racetrack, and here, this chopper lands, and out steps Jagger and the Stones.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and shit. I mean, we're, hey, Mick! There were there wasn't, let me look at the whole thing as a big picture. There was no coordination, no planning. They had to call every tow truck in the 5-county area in, and they made a line to the parking lot, which is about a few miles each way, so traffic could still go. And there were no police. You wouldn't find a policeman anywhere in sight.
Oh, man.
There's a brown cloud over the valley.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful, I think, I can't say it was wonderful. We stayed for some, we got back in it.
Yeah.
But I found out later that less mescaline was better.
Yeah.
And to this day, at 68 years old, I haven't done it again, but it was a good time. And there were, at this concert, there were 4 people who died and 4 babies born in the audience. And there's a fellow who up on the highway jumped off an overpass into the aqueduct.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, didn't have any water in it.
Oh,
and there was a person who was run over in a campground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fellow who was shot in front of the stage by the Angels. That was 3, and I forget the 4th. But there were also 4 babies born that day.
Yeah.
I always thought, that's so strange.
Do you feel like that's your overall take from it? Like a bit of a wash? Like amazing seeing Jagger and Stones, and I mean, what other bands do you recall?
For that period of time and for the area of drugs and all that, I wasn't a heavy drug user. I like smoking pot.
Yeah.
I tried mescaline, and that was the first time. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, I haven't experimented a lot beyond that. But I think the best experience was Bob and I caught a Greyhound bus. And caught a Greyhound bus to San Francisco. And we rode the bus around San Francisco all night looking at the lights. And that might have been the best part.
Oh, that's amazing.
They were good times.
Yeah.
They were good times. But that was a festival that the venue changed in a matter of a couple of days, and there was no coordination whatsoever.
Yeah.
And everybody showed up. I believe it. It was like, it was a parking lot for 5 miles each way.
Ugh.
On these 2 lanes of freeway. You pull up, you're not going anywhere, you roll up your windows, take your key, off you go.
Yeah.
Walk down into the Wild Blue Yonder where the festival is.
Do you feel like the kind of the historian's lens of this time period with Altamont, and it's kind of like it was kind of a bookend to a decade of just this amazing transformation of music and kind of grassroots activism
and all that.
Absolutely, that Altamont.
Yeah.
And like Zodiac Killer and like Manson, like all kind of lumped in, right? Like, do you think that's fair? Like, to put Altamont in that category?
You have to see that on chronographically of where they all came in there.
Yeah.
It was such a time. I mean, also, we landed on the moon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it was such a time to grow up. It was a wonderful time. You know, you hid your pot.
Yeah.
Hey, shit, my first lid was $7.50, and it was Panama Red. And it looked like a red as a tomato, and it was good. But my first little taste of that, and then I tried to drive across the Golden Gate Bridge, and that right side kept getting closer and closer.
My God.
So I had to turn off up above Fort Baker to the viewpoint there, and walk around my car 3 or 4 times.
sober up.
And then you head for Sausalito. They were good times. There were, I feel very lucky to have grown up in that period of time. You know, it's a music area. We had the best music. We go to the bridge to, and in a group, we all hung out at C's Drive-In.
Okay.
We had a driving crowd, you know, 25 cent really good burgers, and we had a driving crowd, and there were probably 20 of us. We had a car club, Gearmen of Marin, and we had our hot rods, and we go over across the bridge and group to the Fillmore Auditorium or the Avalon Ballroom and, you know, catch the rock and roll. And
what are some of the standouts?
Oh, God, all of them.
Yeah. How about Janis?
Oh, yeah, Janis and Carlos and, you know. I was telling Ole last night, my stepdad, and he had a rental house in Mill Valley, and my mom, and they had this rental house, and they had moved north a little bit, but they kept this rental house down there, and I was a little older, and I became an electrician, and there's an electrical problem in the house. And so my stepdad said, Buzz, would you mind going down to my rental? My tenant just moved out, and she was kind of really weird, but they had heating in the ceiling for her piano. And I said, well, no problem. I'll go check it out. I said, so is the house for rent? He says, yeah. He says, it's weird, this kind of strange gal, she just moved out. I said, okay, well, what do you mean by a weird gal? He said, well, her name was Grace Slick. Shit, are you kidding me? You've been renting a house to Grace Slick and I didn't know it?
I'm heading over there right now. had you seen them in the city play, like in high school or shortly there? Did you ever catch the Jefferson show or like...
Airplane?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going in the city. You know, we go... Yeah.
Amazing, huh?
We had, like I said, the Fillmore, of course, and the Avalon Ballroom, and that was also the era of Carol Doda. Carol Doda was one of the first topless dancers in San Francisco.
Okay.
I think it might have been Venice Avenue. I'm not sure which one, but there was a Carol Doda. I don't know if they were enhanced or whatever. They might have been natural, but they sure were a hit. And so she would do a show, and she was one of the first, I think, strippers.
Okay.
Topless. And I had a pretty good, bad ID. And so we go see Carol Doda, too.
Classic.
You know, I mean, it's better than National Geographic. He's alive.
Yeah. And so you would go over as like a high school student, or was it more after high, like you were into the city?
It was like maybe senior it was actually junior senior year.
Wow.
Yeah, we push it, you know, try and get a fake ID. Of course, you go to San Francisco or something like that and back street something into a bar, they'll serve you.
Yeah.
There is no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
But I had a job one time over there in the St. Francis Hotel Edition. I was pretty young, probably 18, 19. And somebody got me in the Soft Tile Workers Union.
Yeah.
Which meant that I was going to be humping big old rolls of carpet in the St. Francis Hotel Edition. Okay, I did that up to freight elevators and all that. And it was really hard work. And every guy that was there carpet laying had been in traction at least 10 times. I thought, well, I don't want to follow this area of employment. But I found out that on the ferry between San Francisco in Sausalito, which is really cool, they would serve me. And I found this new drink called the Stinger. Stinger. Now, I think it was cream de mint and, like, something other, really.
Yeah.
And I was young. Yeah. I had a couple of those on the way back home. If you're listening, I don't propose that you do that. It wasn't good. Oh, I don't know what else I can remember,
you know,
about Altamont,
man. Well, man, that's amazing. How about, like, I know in growing up in the neighborhood that you did, I mean, people coming through, I mean, that was a natural area from, like, David Crosby and his crew to, like, Janice and, like,
yeah,
hanging out. What was that like, you know, just kind of being around, like, people like that, or being with Janice, or any experiences?
I might have been next to a lot of them and not even known it.
Yeah.
Janice, for one, I did know her. One of my first jobs I got was at Montgomery Ward. And I don't know how, I don't remember how I got, but we were doing actually window dressing. Kind of cool. And I worked for a guy named Gil. Now, Gil was pretty gay, and, you know, he thought I was kind of nice, but that wasn't my route, but, what, you know, hey. So, Gil had, he had a little Triumph TR6, and he didn't like driving it, and I loved driving it. Hey, do you want to go down to Trident? Meet Janice for lunch. I go, Janice who? God, oh, come on. You driving? I'm driving. So yeah, we have lunch.
Oh man.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were some fun times there. The Trident used to be an old bordello on the waterfront there.
In Marin.
And Sausalito.
In Sausalito.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh man, you know, just thinking about the area, it wasn't as populated as it is today, of course.
Yeah.
And Mill Valley was still a town that kind of wasn't discovered yet as far as for, you know, profit potential and investment and all.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the boom hit. My folks, well, I don't know. We bought a house for $13,000. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
It was a great area to grow up in.
Yeah.
It really was. One time, well, okay, our car club, Gearman and Marin. The main highway that came out of the Waldo Grade, off the bridge, over into the Waldo Grade, to the tunnel, down the hill, came down, and the highway flattened out in front of, like, Strawberry and Mill Valley. There's an overpass. And about a mile ahead was the Tiburon Exchange, another overpass. So one night we went out with about a dozen of our hot rods, and when there's a break in the traffic, we all pulled out on the on-ramp from the highway, and we lined up 3x3x3x3. And we stopped traffic.
Well.
And we had a Christmas tree. And we drag raced to the next overpass. Yeah. You can get away with that stuff then.
Yeah. You totally
okay, can. Go. First line. Off they go, man. Two of us, you know. You know, down there. And then we all run back into Sue's drive-in and meet up later. What kind of stories do you want to hear, man?
This man, those are, these are amazing. Like,
well,
you know, so, I mean, you've seen, it sounds like Altamont and the shows at the Fillmore were pretty,
yeah,
pretty much like a pinnacle.
Yeah, Golden Gate Park and Haight Ashbury and all that. Oh, yeah.
So would you go hang out at Haight Ashbury, or was it just kind of like, was that a different scene? Were people in their
you
own
know
little
what?
Kind of
I was like a hippie with short hair.
Okay, yeah.
I was like a hippie with short hair.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know.
So did you kind of like continue going to live shows throughout once it turned into the '70s, and did you continue on, or was it like that moment in time?
No, I got an electrical apprenticeship.
Yeah.
Actually, I had a girlfriend whose dad was an electrical contractor. He said, "You want to work in a shop?" Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Within a year, he said, "You want to get any apprenticeship?" And I said, "Well, how can I do that? There's no nepotism involved here." So he got me, I got in, and from then on I became more responsible. Later, 73, got married and went off and did that. But I'm trying to just think of, there's so many stories you can think of when you're that age.
Yeah.
It was so wonderful being in that area, being 18, 19. I did have a lot of buddies who got drafted and had to go to Nam.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have to go because I had a medical deferment. Mm-hmm. The day I graduated from high school, I went out riding my off-road bike and went over a jump and hit a rock and busted 8 ribs and busted up a leg.
Yeah.
And so I got all fixed up, but I didn't have to go to Nam.
Yeah.
And I watched a lot of buddies go, and I watched a lot of buddies come back, and not good, good and bad, and all that going with it. But now I forgot where the hell I was going with that little point. It's gonna be on a higher note than that.
But just so many memories to choose from. I mean,
yeah, God, it was such a fun time. You could get away with so much.
Yeah,
you know, we had down from C's Drive-In, little ways down the road, was beside Mount Tamalpais High School, was this very steep road. It was like 45 degrees. It was steeper than the hill. It was pretty long. And below was two lanes and then an aqueduct, or a curb, grass, curb, aqueduct, curb, grass, curb, aqueduct, and then Safeway parking lot. Well, shit, what are you going to do on a late August or September evening, warm evening, but take an old tire up there, top of the hill, fill it with gasoline, and light it.
Nothing burns like
and
fire.
Roll it down the hill. So this was an annual event. Year 3 was good. Year 4 didn't work out so well. But year 3, the tire went straight. And all the way down the hill and bounced across 4 lanes of traffic. Like a big flaming black burning ball, and it would circle around the Safeway parking lot and come to stop, and then we'd all take our hot rods down from the drive-in and park in a big circle way out, and then we'd let the fire trucks come and put the tire out. You can get away with that.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't, who did that?
Yeah.
Not me.
Not me. Yeah. Any rim fingerprints?
Yeah, and from the drive-in, there was a ditch. There was a gutter going in and out. And so all the guys that worked in gas stations would bring their drain oil, and they'd put their can't believe I'm saying this. They put the drain oil right in the gutter where you go in and out of the driving. Even elderly people were burned out. Hey, look at that. Yeah. Chrysler New Yorker. Hey, get in the gutter, pull out and spin their wheels. And do a
That's so American Graffiti.
Hamburgers for a quarter.
Yeah. That is totally like what I would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was.
And you just get away with it.
You know, if we had a case of Olympia beer in our trunk, the cops would take it. They'd take it home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, now.
God, yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal now. That's amazing. If you could put any one of those bands from that era back into the Fillmore for one last night, like which, if you choosing one, like, just putting that out there.
No, hold it, Ollie. I got to tell you a story.
Right. I want to hear it.
Couple closer buddies, Don and Todd. Todd had gone to the Marines. He'd just gotten back. And so I was on a mission. How many joints can you roll out of a pack of zigzags? Well, I can tell you kids now. I'm sorry, I don't want to call you kids. You're adults. There are 36 papers in a pack of zigzags. So, he got home, and I twisted 36 bombers, and we're going to celebrate. Don had a new pickup truck. We're going to go up on top of the grassy hill in Mill Valley and look over the hill with a bottle of Red Mountain wine and smoke some doobies, and life is good. So we get up there. And we're there, and doing our thing. And here comes the cops. Mm. Two cars and pull up, and doors open, and one guy's actually kneeled down behind the door with the window open with his gun leveled
on
the door. I'm going, come on. You know, so now my buddy Todd, he's always had a chip on his shoulder. So he's giving him one of these tough guys. So they're going to frisk us.
Mm-hmm.
So they ticked on, hands on the hood, man. Hands on the hood, frisk him, can't find anything. They grab Todd, hands on the hood, frisk him, can't find anything. So now both these guys look at me knowing that I got 36 doobies in my pocket. Well, no, I had dropped them in the 2-foot grass beside me when I'm standing in line, you know, waiting for my search. So they search me, can't find anything. Okay, life is good, man. So they go, oh, I'm going to search a truck. Well, what we had forgotten. We had this old World War II pilot's mask. They had the mask would full face, full cover, encapsulate your head, but it had this flexible tube. And on the end of that tube, we had this big meerschaum bowl. And so, you know, you would put the sucker on strap, you'd fill the bowl, put the sucker on strap. And if you watch somebody, you know, take a toke in it, you'd watch the smoke go up past their eyeballs in the little windows, you know. Well, we didn't know we left it in the back of the truck. So they found that. They thought, God damn, we got them now, man.
Yeah.
We're going to send them up the river, you know.
Oh, God.
And there's enough residue in this bowl. You know, one of those. Well, anyway, they let us go. And next day I went back and got all the doobies that were in the grass. And the Mill Valley Police Department put this, glass cabinet in the front of, you know, when you enter the police department.
Yeah.
All the confiscated paraphernalia.
Oh, no.
And man, we got frickin' front and center.
It's part of their DARE program today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You can probably get that now in Austin,
got,
now that it's all legal.
I want to go back now and look again and see if it's still there. You know, like 50 years later, you know?
Yep.
Hey.
That's amazing.
When I say 50 years later.
Yeah.
When I was 18, 19, you know, I didn't start smoking until I was, you know, 17, 18. And they say we're always trying to recreate our first high.
Yeah.
That may be true.
Yeah.
But I had smoked for over half a century. And I would have to both say that it has had negative impact. And it has had positive impact.
Yeah.
Most definitely. Mind expanding is what we did in that time. And it's good stuff. You know, think outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, going to the moon.
Yeah, going to the moon. I think we have four.
Did you really record all?
Yeah. We have about 4 minutes left.
4 minutes left?
Yeah, well, on this recording, we keep going.
Wow.
Once it runs out, could hit record again.
What do you want, another funny story?
Well, yes, but now in the 3.5. Answer my question. Which band right now, if we're like, got a text message.
Which band
to see again in their original form?
Probably Fleetwood.
Fleetwood.
Oh, yeah.
In their original form.
Oh, yeah.
What year?
Then 69.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. '89, yeah.
The band. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See them at the Fillmore, do you call, or several times?
No, only one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, one time. I wish more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go? Have you seen them since? Have you gone and seen any of these? Would you do that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's holding you back?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They come to town or they come when you're on a road trip?
Actually, what's holding me back is my wife, on her bucket list, is to see. Boy, I better not forget this. What's his name? The soprano guy, the blonde guy.
Bert Bacharach? Yeah, it's all right. No worries.
No, Bocelli.
Okay.
Bocelli.
Wow.
We love Bocelli.
Yeah.
And we need to, our goal out there is to go see Bocelli, my wife. Yeah, bucket list.
So that's the bucket list, and then Fleetwood Mac number two?
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Or me learning how to play the piano.
Yeah, exactly. Well, like we showed you, man, those YouTube videos are everything. All right, man. Well, that takes us to the end of this, you know, little app recording kind of a thing. So thank you. Very much.
Well, I have never been recorded before, and I'm sorry. I just did get out of the hot tub.
It's a beautiful evening up here in Washington State.
Got some family here that we love, and I'm happy to share this with whoever is hearing it.
Right.
Altamont was a day in my life I would never forget. Yeah, just really, I don't know what to say.
You said it. Thank you.
Rhiannon.
Right on, bud.
The
Thank
dance.
You, man.
Yeah, you bet.
That's so cool. beautiful night. I appreciate you opening up the house and having us and the family over and taking time to, you know, share the memories. So thank you. That was awesome.
I'll probably remember a few. I wish I had told you a couple good ones, but I will.